Proverbs chapter 11, for at least the text tonight as we continue our preaching and teaching on stewardship. Proverbs chapter 11, beginning in verse number 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but attendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Our Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful privilege we have to serve an amazing God. We thank you for the wonderful salvation that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the privilege you've given us as you've left us here on this earth to be able to serve you and to be stewards and manage our time, our talent, and our treasure. And I pray that you'd help us during this stewardship preaching and teaching time, that we might all examine ourselves and seek to be a better steward for our great God. And we thank you for those who are here tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would bless in a very special way. Take me as your servant. Cleanse me of any sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. A couple of weeks ago, we began our preaching and teaching on stewardship. Of course, when I pastored, I did this every year here at our church, and I'm thankful over these 36 years to have seen some men, women, boys, and girls who've come to Crossroads Baptist Church and learned about stewardship and became very faithful stewards. I think about the Arcelays. I believe it was a number of years ago we were teaching on stewardship when they first came to Crossroads Baptist Church and got in on stewardship, and what great stewards they become here at Crossroads Baptist Church. You know, stewardship is a growing time in our lives. We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 a couple of weeks ago and looked at one of the great stewards in the Bible, the Apostle Paul. Paul was writing to the church of Corinth, and he was reminding them of what he did and how he felt about the responsibility God had given him. He writes back to this church. He loved this church. He'd seen God do some great and mighty things through these men and women who were simply saved out of sin, got baptized, joined the local church, and became wonderful stewards for the Lord. He writes back and he says, I want to take a moment and tell you a little bit about me. Paul had gotten saved on the Damascus Trail. He'd been busy for the devil. Now he got busy for God. And he says, I want to talk about me a little bit to challenge you to be involved in the work of God. He said in chapter number 4, don't turn there, and I'll kind of remind us. He said, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Here's what he's saying. I have been given an office by Almighty God. The same one that saved me on the Damascus Road has given me an office. And he says, in that office, there are two things I do. First of all, I'm a minister or a servant. He said, I want to be the best servant that I can be. But not only in that office am I a minister or a servant, he says, I'm a steward. And because I so love God and so appreciative of what he's done to me, I want to be a steward of the mysteries that God has revealed to me that I can share to other people. So Paul says, here's what I'm doing. If you're going to understand stewardship, you think tonight, every saved person in here is a steward. Amen. We're either a good steward, a so-so steward, or a bad steward, but salvation puts us in the stewardship business. So we're all stewards. So you think about what you're doing. You have a talent. We all have time. We all have treasure. And we are to be ministering, being servants of that, and stewards for Almighty God. So he says, since God's given me this office, I have an obligation. Here's what stewardship is all about. Think about what you're doing with your time, your talent, and your treasure. Here's the obligation of every steward. That a steward be found what? Faithful. So I've got to go through life. God, am I faithful with my time? God, am I faithful with my talent? God, am I faithful with my treasure? Why? You've given this to me, and I want to be a servant, and I want to be a best steward that I can be. Therefore, he says, my stewardship, I just have an oversight of what belongs to God. I don't own my time. I don't own my talent. I don't own my treasure. It all belongs to my master, and I want to be the best steward that I can be. I want to manage it for Almighty God. He goes on and says, as he's speaking to the church of Corinth, he says, as I think about my stewardship, as I think about being faithful, he says, I'm not so concerned about what you Corinthians think of me. You may think I'm the greatest person in the world. You're entitled to that. I'm not even concerned about what others think of me. It's good that people will think well of us. He said, I'm not even concerned about my own opinion of me. What I'm really concerned about is one day I'm going to stand before the judge. And I want to know, will he look at me and the office he gave me and the obligation I fulfilled, and will he say that I managed it well for him? Right. See, stewardship is managing something that belongs to God. Every single one of us, we're in the managing business. We're managing our time. We're managing our talent. We're managing our treasure for Almighty God. And what we ought to concentrate on tonight is, am I faithful as a steward managing that which is given to me by Almighty God with this obligation? God help me to do well, because one day the judge is going to check it out. I may have been pat on the back by the preacher. Someone may have complimented me about all of this that I've done. But what really counts is, what is God going to say when my stewardship is up? So stewardship is simply the fact that we own absolutely nothing. We're simply managing it for God. And then we looked at the three principles of stewardship. Since I'm managing time, talent, and treasure for God, and since I have an obligation to be faithful because of God, then there are three principles that's going to guide my life. One is accountability. I'm going to be careful how I manage my time, talent, and treasure, because there's an accountability. Paul says, I learned something. God owns everything. Amen. And if that's not enough, God owns me. Now let's pause there for a second. Since God, not if God, since God owns everything, since God owns me, it's not up to me to decide how I'm going to do with everything. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Amen. It's not up to me to do what I want to with me, because God owns me. Right. And I could stop and preach here all night about how we mismanage me. Be careful what you do with you, because you're bought with a price. Yeah. And you're to glorify God in your body, because one day you're going to have to give an account to him. You ought to pause and think about that for a moment. When I go to work, when I go to church, when I go to the grocery store, I'm managing me for God. And I've got to make sure that I'm taking care of what belongs to God. So there's an accountability. And since there's an accountability, Paul says there's a second principle of stewardship that we learn from the Bible. It's dependability. Since God owns everything, can he depend upon me to manage it for him? And by the way, the Bible teaches very clearly, if I don't manage the little bit he's given me, don't expect him to give me more. If I make a mess of what I have to manage, why should I be asking God to give me more to manage? If I can't do the best I can with what I have, God's not going to give me more. God's looking to and fro, trying to find a man, woman, boy, or girl that he can depend upon. Last week we looked at Abraham. He was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, but should I tell Abraham about what I'm about to do? And God says, I'm going to talk to Abraham about this. Why? He says, because I know him.
And we're saying, I've got a friendship with Abraham. I can talk with Abraham. If I'm going to manage what God owns, I better develop a relationship where I can talk to God and God can talk to me to tell me how to manage what belongs to him. All of us can say here tonight, left to ourselves, we'll mess up. And we do it all the time. He said, but I know Abraham. I have a friendship with him. He said, I know Abraham because he's a good family man. You know what he's saying? I can give Abraham a son through whom my son will come through because I know he'll raise him right. Our children belong to God. And God's looking for some people, some families, some couples that he can bless with children that he can depend upon, that they will raise those children for his honor and glory. Hey, that's a minor thing. The greatest stewardship any married couple has today is how you manage your children for God. Amen. They belong to him. He said, I know him. He also, Abraham and I not only have a friendship relationship, and he's a good family man, but he's a man I can bestow favor upon. I know if I bless Abraham, Abraham's going to bless somebody else. Pause. There are a whole lot of Christian people, including folks in this church, that if God blessed, they would not be a blessing to somebody else. We're always looking to get something rather than looking to give something. Best Christians I know are not takers, they're givers. And God says, I'm going to bless him. He's going to become a great nation. But I can trust him that if I bless him, he'll be a blessing to someone else. Can God say that about you tonight? Can God say, if I give you more time, if I give you more talent, if I give you more treasure, you're going to look for somebody else to be a blessing to? He knew that about Abraham. He's looking for folks at Crossroads Baptist Church and stewards that he could depend upon. And then we looked at the third principle is availability. Since you know that I own everything and I own you, are you going to live being accountable to me? Can I depend upon you? And since you have what I've given you and you manage it for me, are you going to make it available for me? Or are you going to be selfish and keep it to yourself? So stewardship is managing for God our time, talent, and treasure with the idea I'm accountable. I want God to depend upon me. And whatever God's given me, I'm going to make it available for him. That's basic stewardship. Now, since that is what stewardship is all about, for a few moments tonight, I want to talk about managing that, which from a church standpoint, see, you know, one of the most difficult things in the world to get people to do, and that's to manage their treasure for God. Your treasure, my treasure, belong to God. It's not mine. God blesses us with abilities, talent, health, strength, jobs, bank accounts, all of these things to manage it for him. And we're going to talk about a little bit about stewardship of our treasure. We can kid ourselves all we want to. Money equals souls. We sing about the gospel. We sing about reaching the world. God has chosen giving as evidence of how spiritual we are. It's not how we sing with that talent. It's not how we preach. You want to find a spiritual person, check out their pocketbook. You can give and not love God, but if you love God, you will give. Let me say, and I don't know everybody's giving record here or what you do as a Christian, but I can tell you this. If you want to check out how spiritual you are, you check out what you do with the finances God allows you to manage. And if you find yourself being stingy and selfish and keeping for yourselves, don't ever convince yourself and don't let the devil convince you that you're spiritual. Money is a real test of spirituality. We find here in Proverbs chapter number 11 a practical precept that I want to take a few more moments and talk about giving. managing or the stewardship of our treasure for the Lord. Here we find a story about two farmers in verse number 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. He gives this precept about two farmers. In a scarce time, one farmer, regardless of what was going on, sold or scattered what he had, and he ended up with more. The other one looked at the circumstances and thinking about himself, held on to what he had, and he ended up in poverty. It's kind of the attitude of giving. We find that many people today will give of what he or she has, and it seems like the more they give, the more they have. Then you find the other side where people will hold on as tight as they can to what they have, and they always end up having nothing. You see, giving is a test of our spirituality. It's an idea. And he says here that giving is a test of where I stand spiritually. So he says, the idea is that God blesses us not to keep. God blesses us to be a blessing to someone else, which involves giving. So we need to understand that. Then he makes this statement in verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Now all of us know that most times as fundamental independent Baptists, we use the word liberal. It's not a good term. Do you agree with that? For instance, I don't think people ought to be, I'm not liberal in philosophy. I try not to be liberal in my philosophy. I'm not liberal in my politics. I'm not liberal even in music. I like conservative music. I don't think, and we hear this all the time. By the way, we have good music here. Thank God. A lot of places where you don't have good music. Fasten your seatbelt. I'm not liberal when it comes to standards. I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe that Christian people ought to look like Christians. Dress like Christian, act like Christian. I'd be wondering by somebody's appearance whether that person's a Christian. Now, I pastored for 30 years, been in this church for 36 years, and you fight all the time with people who want to be liberal in their standards. How much can I go toward the world and still be labeled a Christian? The world goes here, the Christian goes here. The world goes here, the Christian goes here. And you're fighting all the time. Any pastor, any place, any fundamental church in America, some of us still stand for that. The rest of them are just giving up. Let them be what they are. As long as they fill up the pews, that's fine. But I think Christian people ought to not be liberal in these areas. So we fight to be liberal in music and liberal in standards and liberal in politics and liberal in our philosophy and fight all the time. Get mad, leave the church, do all of these things. Well, I'm going to give you something tonight that you can be liberal about and be spiritual. How many would like to be spiritual tonight? Well, the more liberal you are in what I'm about to say, the more spiritual you will become. He said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. That word liberal there is talking about a soul of blessing or a giving soul. So he says, you want to be liberal? Learn to be liberal in your giving. Amen?
Amen.
So let's get liberal. Pastor has said, no matter how liberal you get when the offering plate comes, no matter how liberal you get when you fill out that tithe and offering envelope, I guarantee you, you will never be rebuked. You will never have to worry about being excommunicated. Let it rip. Just wear it across. Matter of fact, get your checkbook and print across there. I'm a liberal soul. And start being liberal when it comes to giving. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He's literally saying, the giving soul shall be blessed. Now, before I look at these three points here to find out whether you are liberal or not, let me give you a biblical principle when it comes to giving. You know, the Bible is very clear when it comes to the matter of giving. I think the three P's that I have down and what I practice over the years when it comes to giving, and listen to them. The three P's of giving, three P's, if you give this way, you're spiritual and you're biblical. Three P's. Every person has to give this way to genuinely be a biblical giver. The first P in giving is what I call paying, P-A-Y-I-N-G. That's your tithe. Now let's pause for a second. If you are not a consistent tither, 10% of what you're managing for God, he says, belongs to him off the top. This is biblical. Everybody tithes one way or the other. The Bible says the tithe is the Lord. So I want to become a liberal giver. Where do I start? I start by paying God what is his. 10% of everything that I earn, the whole 100% belongs to God. But before I can't take the 10% and try to manage that, I got to take the 10% and give it back to who it belongs to. So everybody is to be a tither. I start my giving by paying God what is his. 10% of everything before the law, during the law, after the law belongs to God. So if you want to be a liberal giver, you got to start with the basics. If you're not paying tithes on a consistent basis of everything you earn, you can't give God anything. You can put it in the offering plate. You can get a tax reduction slip for it, but it means nothing to God. The tithe is the Lord. Everybody tithes one way or the other. You heard the phrase that John hadn't been to church for a while, and they asked, where is John? A few church members says, didn't you know? He's in the hospital. What's he doing in the hospital? God's taking out his tithes. He's down at the garage getting his car out. God's taking out his tithes. Nobody spends God's tithe. I pay mortgages like most of us do. And I noticed on the mortgage statement I have there, it says here, your monthly mortgage payment is so many dollars. Then under that, it says additional amount to pay on the principal. What if I decided my mortgage payment was $3,000 a month and I say I'm going to pay $200 on my principal, so I fill out there and put $200 on the principal and don't put anything on what's owed? You think they're going to accept that? No way. You can't give God something until you first pay God. The first P is paying. God help me never to rob God. I am thankful tonight, and I'll say this humbly, except for the first 2 weeks of my Christian life, I've never robbed God. Boy, I've lived 41 years. Now, I've done a whole lot of other things. But I can get on my knees, and I don't ever have to confess, God, forgive me for robbing you. I did miss putting my tithes and offerings in the offering plate once or twice in these years when I traveled, and I felt guilty about that. Matter of fact, I felt like I should have paid God some interest on it because I kept it a few days longer than I should have. So pay God what he owes. The second P is what I call proving. That's your offering. Will a man rob God? Well, they've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Before I can be a biblical giver, I must pay God 10% and give God some kind of an offering. It doesn't say how much I'm to give him, but some kind of an offering. If I gave God 11% of everything I earn, I would at least be scriptural, even though I wouldn't necessarily be spiritual. I'd be at the very bottom, but at least I would be scriptural. You have to pay a tithe and give some kind of an offering to the Lord. Offering is something I sacrifice or I do because I love God. All right, so I pay God my tithe. I give an offering. And then the third principle of giving is very important. It's what I call pleasing. The Bible says I must give to God in a pleasing manner. Listen, God's not broke.
Amen.
He's not hard up. He doesn't need your money or my money. My paying and proving that love and giving pleasing is for my benefit. God wants me to give with the right kind of an attitude and the right kind of a spirit, because he doesn't need our money. He wants to be a blessing to us because we love him. So I pay my tithes, prove to God that I love him by giving sacrificially and an offering, and then I give cheerfully with the right attitude to let God know I really mean it when I give. Now, those are the basic, that's biblical giving. That's what stewardship is all about. And that's what God looks for. And there are people in this church who have learned those principles and have given. Now, let me throw this in as someone who deals with finances and deal with offerings and things all the time. If every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl in this church tithe, we 100% we couldn't make it. There are many people in this church. And long before I ever got into ministry, I learned to give more in an offering than I pay in a tithe. Because that means something. If I'm willing to sacrifice more, to give more to God beyond my tithe, which is an act of obedience, when offering is approving my love, I have to tithe, and I don't have to be spiritual. I'm just doing what I'm commanded to do. But when I start giving up my Starbucks or giving up this or giving up that or living less to be able to give more for the work of God, I'm proving to God that I love him. And that only means something to us. And Crossroads Baptist Church makes it, and we do what we do and have what we have, not because people tithe, and I would say a good percentage, probably 90% or more people in here tithe, but there are lots of people and a good host of people that give far beyond their tithe in an offering in a pleasing way to prove to God that they love him. All right? Now, very quickly, here's how you can know if you are liberal in your giving. Number one, look back at the proverb. It says, there is the scattereth and yet increaseth. A liberal soul, first of all, is generous in his giving. Now let's pause for a second. Think about every time that you fill out that offering envelope, and you fill it out tithes and offerings and missions and building fund, and whatever else that you have on the offering, that the envelope, mine has tithes and offerings, missions, building fund, COBA, sound system, CDC. So I have six columns. And if they needed something else, I'd have seven.
All right.
But when you fill that out and drop it in the offering plate, then turn to your soul and say this, am I a generous giver? Is this generous? And what I have, the 100% I'm managing, the 10% is God, and the offering that I'm giving, what's left of that, which I have a choice what I'm going to do with it. Can I look up to Almighty God and say, I'm generous, liberal in my giving? A liberal soul is always generous in his giving. That means I consider it when I give. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, he says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. In other words, when I write out my tithes and offerings envelope, and I want to be able to, I know I'm managing for God, and I want to be able to put it in that offering plate, and I want to say it's generous because why? What I have done has affected my heart. I'm giving in a very generous way. So I'm generous in giving because I'm a considerate giver. I'm a cheerful giver. I give not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a what? Cheerful giver. We hear that every single week. I'm a consistent giver. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. I'm giving off the top. That's what I'm giving to Almighty God. And I'm also a church giver. Upon the first day of the week, I bring that generous offering with a cheerful attitude, a considered heart, and give it to God because I'm a liberal soul.
Amen.
I'm a liberal soul. So the liberal soul, first of all, is generous in his giving. Then it continues on. Verse 25, he says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Well, I like God, and I'm glad I've lived long enough to prove God. You know, the Bible says, prove God. I'm glad I've proved God, that what he says in his word. You know, when I first got saved as a Christian, I thank God today that I believe the Bible. Amen. I didn't believe the Bible, I wouldn't be saved. But the Bible is something I always believed. And I found early in my Christian life where God says, prove me, try me. Put this thing about giving into practice. And now 41 years later, it would take me a long time to tell you how many times I've seen God do what he said in his word. You can't outgive God. God can take what you're managing for him. And if you give it back to him, he'll take what else you have left managing him and make it more for you. God can do a better job with what we have left to bless us than if we kept most of what we had and tried to figure it out ourselves.
Right.
He does it all the time. He can give more and do. There's so many things that God has control of. And he says, if you are generous in your giving, which we ought to be because we love God. But God says, I love you enough that if you're going to be generous in your giving, giving hands will always be receiving hands. Sowing bountifully will always be reaping bountifully. You can't sow a lot with God and reap a little. Can't do it. Doesn't work that way with God. God says if you sow much, you're going to gain much. So if I'm going to be a liberal soul, if I'm going to be a generous in my giving, then I've got this to fall back on. And I shouldn't need this. I should do it because I love God. I can't be generous in giving to God without gaining from God.
Amen.
And God wants to do that. He's looking for some people that he can bless. But you can't do it if I'm going to sow sparingly and expect to reap bountifully. Don't work that way. God says, give and it shall be given unto you. Sow and you shall reap. All right, so a liberal soul, first of all, is generous in its giving. And secondly, a liberal soul gains from his giving. And keep in mind, I'm a steward. I'm only managing what belongs to God. It's not mine. I'm just managing. And who you ever seen anybody, you just let you manage what is already his and then bless you just for managing it. God doesn't want to give it back to you. Go ahead. You go ahead and give it back to me and then I'm going to give it back to you. That's the way God works. And then thirdly, and this is where we lose a lot of people, a liberal soul is generous in his giving. Secondly, gains from his giving. But thirdly, if you're going to be a liberal soul, keep in mind, I'm accountable, I need to be dependable, I need to make available, because God is the one that entrusted me with what I have. Therefore, he knows every situation I'm going to face. There is no such thing as tithing when it's convenient, tithing when it's easy. I tithe when I earn.
Amen.
What about my offering? I know I have to pay my tithe, but what do I still give an offering to God? Offerings are sacrifice. I'm willing to sacrifice from Almighty God. In verse 26, he gives us a principle here. He says, the liberal soul, well, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessings shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He gives this picture of a corn grower who holds back selling his corn when things are scarce, waiting to get a better price. On the other hand, the other farmer doesn't look at his circumstances, doesn't look at the conditions. He's not thinking about himself. He realizes the gifts that he has come from God, and he sows. And it's a picture of how we should operate. You know what he's saying? Giving should never be based just upon my circumstances, upon what conditions I'm facing in life. And let me give you a couple of things, how people give. as a pastor of a church over years. Most churches that I preach in and go around in Crossroads has had those things happen as well. You can always tell by giving records of a church. You watch that when certain things happen, like vacations, most churches, including this church, summertimes, the offerings go down, not because you have less people. The offerings go down because more people take vacations.
Right.
Now, biblically, taking a vacation doesn't mean I don't pay tithes and offerings.
Right.
All right? Christmas time. School time. All of these are circumstances and conditions that liberal souls keep giving because they're gracious in their giving. They understand if I'm a steward, I'm a steward in the summertime, I'm a steward in vacation, I'm a steward at any time because I'm managing things for God, and what belongs to God, I need to manage all the time.
Amen.
I'll say this because I'm getting close to time to close. Am I still going to get a chance to preach one more time? All right. I sit sometime and I'll watch. I literally see Sunday after Sunday people in this church who never put an envelope in. I see people sometimes do this. I'm talking about Sunday mornings, Sunday night. I would be scared to death to be a member of a local New Testament church and not pay tithes and
Amen.
Offerings and sit and enjoy the air conditioning when it's working.
Yeah.
When I used to counsel people all the time, and I would tell people all the time, if you want to have the blessings of God upon your life and your family, learn very early to honor God with your tithes and your offerings. Because you'll find one day you're going to have to fall on your face and call out to God in a monetary way, and you're going to have to spend most of your time confessing why you robbed him rather than getting hold of him where the gold and silver belongs to him and he works out miracles. Stewardship is so crucial to the life of the child of God. God will supply in his church and his work regardless of who robs him.
That's right.
It's not going to change him. He's going to bless. But he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and he's looking for some men, women, boys and girls who will simply be managers, overseers of that which belongs to him. And he says, if you learn to be generous in your giving, I guarantee you, you'll gain from your giving. And when conditions and circumstances are not what they need to be, you just have enough faith and enough grace from me that I'll make it work because my principles don't change. The tithe never changes. You never have to pay a tithe if you never earn anything. Still have to give an offering. Still have to give sacrificially. You may have to make decisions. I remember years ago when we had something happen, and I contemplated for the first time. My income dropped down, but my giving level, I wanted to keep it up. And I was just trying to see it. You look at it on paper, there's no way in the world. And therefore, a short period of time, I still was giving well over 35% of what I was earning, but my giving was a lot higher. And you know, you get in this idea, you don't ever want to drop your giving, even when your income dropped. And I remember thinking about doing that, and then I got convicted and went back and stayed at that level. And this was many years ago. This was probably in the early 90s. And never since that short period of time ever dropped my giving, even though my income dropped. And I can honestly say today, I have more today than I've ever had in my life, earning less money than I did in those years. God honors faithfulness because there are many, many ways he blesses, and you can't outgive God. And if you're a young couple just getting started in life, honor God
with your stewardship. Amen. Because he owns you. He owns everything. And if you're generous in your giving, you'll gain from your giving. And there may be times when God has to give some grace, but he'll provide it. And may God help us to be good stewards of our treasure, which belongs to him. After all, he's the judge, and we're accountable. He wants us to be dependable, and he wants to make it available. He wants us to be liberal souls for him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. I want you to think for a moment about your stewardship. Let's talk about treasure tonight. Not your time. We'll get to that next time. Think about your giving. And ask yourself tonight, how generous am I in my giving? Am I even biblical? Am I paying God out of obedience in my tithe? Am I proving to God I love him by the amount of offering I give? Am I giving in a way that's pleasing, cheerfully, considerately, from my heart? Because God has certainly been good to me. Let's stand together. Our Father, we thank you so much tonight for the wonderful privilege we have of being stewards. We're servants. We're managing that which is not ours. And we're overseers of that which belongs to God. Help us to manage ourselves well, that we might be good stewards. Help us to manage our resources, that you would be pleased. And I do pray in a local church that's trying to reach the world, may you raise up some men and women, young people, who will be liberal givers for the work of God. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.